This is one of those unusual occasions in which the children's sermon and my sermon are basically going in pretty much the same direction. And actually, Gloria, you might be interested to know that when we were away on the retreat, on Sunday morning, when it was a text from Jeremiah that I don't know what was preached on here, but I had a CD with Jeremiah was a bullfrog and played it for the kids and asked them, in what way is Jeremiah like or not like a bullfrog? And one of the ideas we talked about was that bullfrogs will just sit there and keep riveting, keep blurting out their message until somebody hears. And so, like a bullfrog, Jeremiah was persistent. So our minds went the same direction there. And our minds also went in the same direction thinking about the scripture that we've heard. We really have two vignettes out of the ministry of Jeremiah in this passage. The first vignette is that we find him in a state of confinement. And he was in a state of confinement for about a year. Actually, when he originally was arrested, they threw him down a well and left him there to die. But he was rescued from that well and then stuck in prison. And then he managed to negotiate some better circumstances for himself. So now he is merely under house arrest in the palace, in the courtyard of the palace of King Zedekiah, who was the last king of Judah. Now, why is Jeremiah under house arrest? Well, basically because he's been doing his job. Basically because he's been preaching the word that God has given him to preach. He's been speaking truth to power. And that's not something that usually gets you a whole lot of approval from people in power. They didn't like what he had to say. And so were bothered by it. What was it that Jeremiah was saying to people in power? Well, at the time, King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians were ranging far and wide over the entire Near East, and they were in the process of invading Judah, the kingdom of Judah. And Jeremiah told the people of Judah that it is a futile cause if you think you're going to defend yourselves against the Babylonians. They are just too strong militarily. You cannot defend yourself. And in fact, he went on to say that the outcome of this futile war would be that Zedekiah himself would be taken into exile, taken to Babylon, and have to suffer the indignity of facing his vanquisher, Nebuchadnezzar, face to face. And so Jeremiah was giving this message, and the response to this message was that people thought that he was unpatriotic, because he was saying that God is not going to defend us from this, that we cannot prevail in this war. They accused him of treason, and that's why he was under confinement. And the parallels between what Jeremiah was going through and what people today are going through are really rather interesting, especially if you consider that the ancient kingdom of Babylonia is the same place as the modern-day nation of Iraq. And we are in a war with Iraq that is a futile effort. I don't think it's going to come up with anything good or positive. I'm not a prophet, you know. There have been plenty of people saying this kind of thing, and saying it even before the war started. Matter of fact, 6 months before the war started, I gave a sermon in which I said that going into Iraq would be a mistake. And I'm no expert in military affairs or foreign relations, but I could see that no good was going to come of this. But also people who were experts in military affairs and foreign relations were seeing this. And some of them worked in the Pentagon, and some of them worked in the State Department, and they spoke their truth, and it either wasn't listened to or if they went public with it, the only reward they got was that they were fired. So the response to prophets in our day, the response to prophets in Jeremiah's day is pretty much the same. People in power don't always like to hear truth spoken to them. And so it's really an amazing testimony to the human courage of a person like Jeremiah, that he was able to speak an unpopular message and be called unpatriotic and face the consequences of his being faithful, being kept under confinement for a year until the Babylonians finally came in and conquered the city of Jerusalem, and then Jeremiah was freed. The other vignette in this passage is, as Gloria was talking about, this opportunity to buy a piece of land. Jeremiah had a vision. This is something that happens to prophets. Prophets have visions sometimes. But this whole thing about having visions and trying to evaluate those visions is really a difficult thing to do, because if you hear a vision, how do you know if that vision is from God or if that vision is just a projection of your own needs and desires? Ultimately, we really don't know for sure whether what we're hearing is from God or whether it's our own imagination. And yet we have to do something with that vision. Jeremiah had to do something with that vision. He had to go with his gut instinct. And that's a scary thing to do when the gut instinct of everybody else in society is telling you to do the opposite thing. Why did Hanamel want to sell his field? Actually, Hanamel thought he was making a shrewd business decision. I mean, if your country is in the process of being conquered by a foreign nation, owning real estate is probably not the place, the best investment for your money, at least in the short term. So Hanamel figured the smartest thing he could do would be to sell his field, to convert this property with very limited short-term value and convert it into cash, assuming he could find somebody stupid enough to buy the field. And that's where Jeremiah comes into the picture. Because Jeremiah's had this vision from God, who tells him that Hanamel's going to come to him. He's going to offer to sell him the field, but she has to do under the Torah to keep the field in the family. Jeremiah gets the first right of refusal. And Jeremiah is told in this vision to go ahead and buy it. And then exactly what God said in the vision happens. Hanamel comes to him. Jeremiah figures out it must be a true vision. And so he writes in a very detailed way about the process that this purchase was made. Actually, this is perhaps the best record we have of how real estate transactions were done in the ancient world, this passage that we just heard. So they agreed upon a price. That price was 17 shekels of silver, about 8 ounces, worth today about $50. But probably worth a pretty good amount of money in those terms, in those days. And a deed was written out, and it was witnessed. Each of them signed it. All of the people in the courtyard of the palace witnessed it as well. And then Jeremiah took this deed, and he gave it to his scribe Baruch, and told Baruch to seal it in a clay jar and to bury it in the land that he was buying, as a way of recording this deed. So Jeremiah goes out and buys a piece of land when everybody else is selling. No, the ultimate contrarian investor. You know, it's one thing to speak your word and have people shake your heads, because at least people know that prophets are supposed to say goofy things. You know, they can shake their heads and go, there he goes again. But No, putting your money where your mouth is a lot harder thing. Investing in a field, in a land that is being conquered, is a very risky thing. But Jeremiah does it. He has the courage of his convictions, and he does this in order to enact the hope that God is giving him. This is a very difficult time in the life of the nation of Israel, in the life of the nation of Judah. They are being conquered. They will soon be taken into exile. People are not very bullish on Judah in those days. They're feeling very discouraged and very depressed. But this is a message of hope, because by buying this field, God is saying through Jeremiah to the people of Judah, things may look bad now, but the day will come when your exile will be ended and you will come home again. And once again, people will buy homes and fields and vineyards in the land of Judah. Jeremiah had the courage to take this step of hope. And you know what happened? 56 years later, 531 BCE, when the Persians emerged and conquered the Babylonians, they let all the exiles go home again. And just as Jeremiah had said, once again, people bought homes and fields and vineyards in the land of Israel. Jeremiah had the courage to live out his hope. And that's why we remember and honor him today. May we have something of the same courage that he had in the midst of the frightening and depressing times in which we live. Amen.